52.
In my 40s, a scientific study found a correlation that showed heavy caffeine use significantly increased and sometimes directly caused common mental illnesses that plague the elderly, things like dementia and Alzheimer's. The following decade saw a 20% decrease in productivity around the world. It made me quite glad that I was never a heavy coffee drinker.
The extreme early morning was not a good time to be thrown from a bed as it was being stolen. Not for most people, and certainly not for Charles. The fighting didn't last long after he awoke. The muddy and battered adventurers stood or sat, gasping for breath. Red Baron carelessly collapsed on his back, lying on top of dead things that were strewn around the muddy bank of the hillside. Python Mike, bleeding in several places and only wearing a loincloth, was only propped up by one of the twins. Only the Banshee seemed no worse from the fighting as she hovered around, drinking the souls of the dead. Charles, however, was beyond annoyed. He was irritated.
Who in the world would steal an old man's bed?
He'd seen the things now. Little green men similar to goblins, but a little smaller and more dangerous-looking. Charles had a difficult time differentiating between creatures of that size and children. In his mind, he was blaming irresponsible parents.
Kids! My bed was taken by misbehaving children! Their parents probably hooked them up to this game and ignored them. People these days don't pay attention to their kids like they used to, and folks like me pay the price.
It's rare to see gremlins actually attack, especially in numbers. It must be close to their mating season, and these are the desperate ones,
the other twin said as she came back up the hill from where she'd been watching the water.
Huh,
was all Mike answered as he was shifted to lean on her. The other twin went down the hill to take over watch.
It's too dark to find a path down there right now, and I doubt they will return tonight. Let's get you patched up while we wait for dawn, she continued.
Charles was surprised. He didn't think he ever heard her talk this much before.
Maybe she just has an interest in feral children.
He had watched several animal shows in his younger days, so he could see how it might interest some folks. Charles used the crystal to stow away his cabin and muttered complaints, disdainfully eyeing the surrounding wetlands. Soon enough, a campfire was going, some meat and eggs frying over it in a pan. Charles couldn't smell it over the stench of death and wetlands, but it did look good. They ate in relative silence, the adventurers having hushed conversations about the battle. As they were cleaning up, Charles was asked if they wanted to stop the journey to go after his stolen bed. It was a question that Charles internally debated a few minutes on. On one hand, who knows where in the swamp those kids were hiding his bed? Traveling through the swamp didn't look to be a pleasant experience to begin with, and the idea of staying longer in the foul-smelling place wasn't something he would normally choose. On the other hand, they stole his bed. He tilted his head from side to side as he considered the two options before finally deciding that if the parents of those little green hoodlums weren't going to monitor their behavior, he should step in. Kids should learn early on that taking something that isn't theirs means a butt-whooping in the best case. Fear of whoopings kept Charles out of a good bit of trouble in his youth. It was too long ago for him to give a good example, but still it was a lesson he hadn't forgotten in all his years. So, spankings were in order. Charles proudly announced his answer.
Yes, let's get those little brats and take them to their parents.
Only for his proclamation to be met with looks of surprise and exasperation from the others.
You gonna tell him?
Red Baron asked Python Mike softly.
Nope. You?
Mike asked back, to get a shake of his head from the other fella. Then they went into what appeared to be a staring contest. Charles almost inquired about it, but he was proud to see them put thought into something, so he didn't want to interrupt.
Rock, paper, scissors?
Red Baron finally asked.
Fine,
Mike answered, stretching the word out. As they went into their game, one of the twins approached Charles and whispered,
Mr. Charles, these gremlins are full-grown adult males. They steal things as a show of skill to use to try to secure a mate. After mating, they lay eggs, and the eggs hatch into a larval worm. There aren't any parents to tell here."
Charles was impressed with her tact and knowledge.
"This must be the one that likes nature studies."
Charles also found himself at a loss. Clearly, knocking heads together wouldn't teach them anything new if bed theft was part of their cultural identity. It was no wonder that they lived in an uncivilized wetland if this was part of their social identity.
"Hein, I still want my bed back," Charles grumped and crossed his arms. "Sometimes a man's gotta put his foot down."
Of course, by putting his foot down, he meant sending young folks to sort it out. It had nothing to do with him feeling obstinate about a decision he felt he already made.
"Best 9 out of 13?
Mike asked.
Oh, I just got a quest update. We just need to get the bed back and not find their parents."
Red Baron seemed excited.
"What? A quest we can do? All right!"
Python Mike seemed equally excited. Both of them were surprised when Charles put his cabin back up.
"All right, I'll wait here. You all hurry up,"
Charles declared as he walked towards his rocking chair. It would be a good time to get some whittling done. Charles pulled out the half-finished snail carving from a few days ago as two men, two women, and an otherworldly tentacle monster, poorly disguised as a lady, waded into the swamp. Vaguely, he heard Red Baron shout,
"Oh, man! He just made this a timed quest!"
The morning stretched into early afternoon as Charles happily whittled away, more and more satisfied with how easy it was becoming. His hands seemed to intuitively know where and how to carve into the wood. The tiger, easily spotted by Charles due to its coloration, seemed to have picked up on his earlier dissatisfaction. It attempted to make up for it by bringing him half-eaten animals it hunted nearby. Charles only noticed when he stopped for a late lunch. Though looking at the gifts turned his stomach some, he was an old hand at forcing himself to eat when he knew he should. With that in mind, Charles used his dungeon crystal to create the cellar doors and went down to get himself a turkey leg. He was greeted at the bottom of the stairs by several bowing goblins garbed in colored silk.
"Great and excellent dungeon master, please allow us the honor of greeting you," the one in the middle said.
Charles just looked at him for several long moments. While Charles was happy they were taking better care of themselves, he was a little put off by how formally they were speaking. The only times Charles ever had someone use flowery language towards him was when salespeople were trying to hook him.
"What do you want?"
Charles grumped.
"Great Lord, far be it for us lowly dungeon creatures to ask anything of your magnificence."
"What do you want?"
Charles wasn't a fan of repeating himself normally, doubly so when dealing with salespeople.
"My lord, our great metropolis, which we owe wholly to you, has grown too full. Our people, honest and faithful to your greatness, run out of—"
"What do you want?"
"Permission to leave, sir, for some of us."
"Oh, sure. Go ahead."
Charles waved his hand flippantly. He wasn't going to hold anyone against their will. The last thing he needed was to be accused of kidnapping.
"I'm too old to go to jail."
"Thank you, my lord. Your greatness knows no bounds. We are unworthy of your audience."
Charles tuned him out after that and used the dungeon interface to generate a turkey leg, eating it on the stairs. When he was done, he made his way back upstairs to his porch to whittle more. Charles hadn't bothered with the details of their request. If he had, he would have known that the goblin metropolis was now home to 22 million goblins, and their settlers would be a fourth of that number. Those millions of goblins, from a tribe that focused on being quiet and hiding, slipped from his cellar like a dark flood out into the hills behind the cabin. It was towards the end of a comfortable afternoon for Charles when the weary adventurers returned. Charles watched them expectantly as they approached.
"Mr. Charles," Python Mike began nervously, "we got your bed back, but I'm not sure you want it any more."
"Huh? Did they break it? I bet those gremlins were jumping on my bed."
"Well, it's best you see for yourself,"
Mike said, and pulled a collapsed piece of furniture out of thin air. The wooden frame was broken, splintered, and gnawed on. Black goop was smeared along many parts and dripped from it. Charles felt disappointed.
"What happened?" "We found their nesting ground. Thousands of the little buggers all were heading to a 10-foot-wide hole in the ground. Barely a cave," Mike started their story.
Charles didn't mean to ask about their adventure. He meant his question as, "What happened to my bed?" But now that they started, Charles felt obligated to listen. Red Baron chimed in next.
"We went in after them, and they got the jump on us at first by hiding in the ceiling and leaping down. We were covered in the little
"Yeah," Python Mike interrupted him. "So many of them, biting and clawing and stabbing us with anything they had. I think one got me in the shoulder with a wooden spoon."
"A spoon? I got slapped with an old boot,"
Red Baron interjected. Charles just motioned for them to keep going. While he was being polite now, he had no intention of listening to them for long. Red Baron got the hint, and the story was back on track.
"Well, we got through them and found their breeding chamber in the next room. Hundreds and hundreds of them, all going at it all at once like some kind of messed up orgy. Oof!"
Python Mike elbowed him in the stomach and coughed into his hand. Charles was impressed with how much he was learning about proper topics of conversation. It was a big improvement. Red Baron rubbed his side and eyeballed Mike for a second before talking again.
"Yeah, well, underneath them all was your bed. It was being used like a rented donk."
"He gets it,"
Mike yelled.
"Man, what did I tell you? Audience, bro, audience. You can't talk like that to old man Charles or you're gonna get smacked."
Red Baron suddenly looked stiff. His eyes flicked back and forth between Python Mike and Charles. Charles, though, had stopped listening already and was back to whittling.
"Yeah, yeah, I'll just use the one in my guest room for now," Charles said offhandedly. "Mr. Charles, you had a guest room in there?"
Python Mike said tentatively. Charles stopped whittling to think about it.
"After the recent renovations, I have... Yep, I have 8 or so guest rooms."
Charles's focus on his whittling was so great after that, he barely heard them speak.
8 guest rooms, and we've been sleeping out here in the mud,"
Red Baron whispered hoarsely. But Charles didn't worry about it.
"It's not like they asked if they could sleep inside."
It was only after they walked away complaining that Charles realized he didn't thwack anyone today. He puffed his chest out in pride, thinking of how much he was improving.